What's up? Here we are again for another episode of Nerd Tween and a Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Nerd Tween. So today I want to get started with the difference between a critique and a review and how a lot of times that gets muddled together for a lot of people. Like, for instance, when you say you like a movie versus it's a good movie, those are two completely separate ideologies. Those are two completely separate things. You can like a bad movie. A good movie, you don't have to enjoy. I talk about this all the time. For instance, for me, The Godfather. The Godfather is a fantastic movie, a whole set of great movies, but I don't enjoy them. I don't. I can look at it and go, okay, it's a fantastic film. It's just not for me. I can separate my own personal biases from my critique of the film. Also, conversely, like Green Lantern, that is a shit show of a movie. Just about anyone involved or anyone who watched it will agree. But I love it. It's so cheesy. It's great. And I love Ryan Reynolds. So I think we all love Ryan Reynolds, but I still enjoy that movie to this day, even though it's crap. And I don't know where or when the definition got lost, but I'll say this. I know that the Batman vs. Superman Discord, BVS, was where I really started to notice it. Because people were saying that because they liked it, it was a good movie. Now, BVS had a lot of issues. the biggest of which I think was the branding. They tried to just throw too many things in on the title alone. I've said this about Book of Boba Fett. I feel like both Book of Boba Fett and BVS would have been much better received if they had different titles. Because a lot of the complaint about Book of Boba Fett is that there was a whole couple episodes where he just wasn't in it. And it's his show. He's a titular character. So, of course, he should be in it. But if it was, say, War of the Bounty Hunters or War for Mos Eisley, it would have been looked at completely different. Same goes for Batman vs. Superman. You title a movie Batman vs. Superman, it should be Batman vs. Superman, not Batman vs. Superman with a little bit of Justice League, with Doomsday, with the death of Superman, with Wonder Woman. With it, when we talk about critique versus just a review or how you felt about the film, those are two completely separate things. You can look at movies, books, art, pretty much anything, and you can take with quantifying reasoning specific things that are rateable, like in movies, for instance, cinematography, the acting, the directing, the all the way down to the editing and lighting. You know, all of that you can judge, all of that you can compare to what the community, whether it be the Academy Awards, which are a little biased, but or the general ratings or whatever you want to look at it, and those films that are so highly rated, you can see, like people will say, it's because of the cinematography, it's because of the script, it's because of this or that. Those are not things when you talk about reviews. Reviews are, you watched it, what did you take from it, and how did you like it? That's a review. Critiques and reviews are two separate things. And people seem to think, well, I liked it, that makes it good. Well, no. Just because it's a great piece of entertainment doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to enjoy it. Not every piece of material is for everyone. It's just that simple. So you can't possibly like every single thing that's like rated the best. That's just not, it's just not, if that's the case, then you don't really have any taste. Not good or bad taste, just no taste, because you just, everything is just great. I mean, your review or your critique would hold less weight because you don't say the things that people may not want to hear. Like for me, like I said, Godfather, perfect example. One of the greatest movies of all time. Many would agree with that. I didn't like it. Not that it was bad. It's not bad. It just wasn't for me. I have a very different taste when it comes to the gangster movies. Like I'm more of a Donnie Brasco, which is one of the most criminally underrated mafia movies in history. You know, and then or like the Goodfellas, you know, those are the movies that I gravitate to, that era. And it just wasn't for me. Doesn't mean it's bad. There's a lot of things that I would enjoy, for instance, that may not be critically acclaimed or may not be a great film or TV show. Like even some of my favorite shows, like The Big Bang Theory, like there's a lot of things I can find that are wrong or that bother me about the show, but I can still enjoy it. I'm not out here saying Big Bang Theory is one of the greatest shows of all time. It may be one of the biggest shows of all time, most watched shows of all time, also things you can quantify, you know, and again, it keeps boiling down to, because I say it, it's right. That's not the case. And I hope that whatever I say, you take with whatever amounts of grains of salt you need, because even my word, I would hope you, based off of what I'm saying and what I've been saying, shouldn't be the end all be all. Do your own research. You know, I mean, if you want to look at, you know, the greatest films of all time, you can compare the cinematography, the acting, the editing, the lighting, special effects. I mean, you name it. These are things that you can look at and go, this was good. This was good. This was bad. This was bad. It doesn't necessarily mean the film is not entertaining or the TV show, or whatever, is not entertaining. It doesn't. I enjoy Batman versus Superman, even though I can look at it and go, it's pretty, it's a mess. The plot has so many holes. I mean, if one thing went left or right on Luthor's plan, none of it would have happened. I mean, and you're banking on the fact that Superman would not just talk to him. He would just say his name over and over again. I mean, come on. I mean, It was false engineered friction, you know, and like there was just a lot wrong with it, you know, and those are not things that take away from the entertainment value. Or another good example would be Avengers Infinity War versus Endgame. Infinity War is by far the better film, but Endgame was far more entertaining. Those are no slight on either one of those films. I mean, they're great. I love both of them. But if you want to look at like true all the way down to the story, the plot, the acting, the cinematography, the CGI, everything in Infinity War was almost perfect. Almost. There's a few little. I mean, obviously nothing's perfect, but I mean it was pretty good. That was one of the top MCU installments to date. Still. And then Endgame just gave us everything we wanted, you know, all the crowd pleasing events, and then the fun wacky hijinks through time, you know, all of that stuff was fun and great. And again, not to take anything away from that film, but if you're looking at which one was better, I mean, quality wise, acting wise, in almost every manner, it was. Infinity War was better. Now, before I move on, all I'll say is about Infinity War, what I wish they would have done more than anything is had the snap in Infinity War end like the issue in the comics where Thanos snaps, fade to white, end of comic. They should end it right there. Because then we wouldn't be able to go, we know who dies. Like, you know, like the whole thing is like when they're talking about like all these people that are dead, like, well, we know they have sequels coming up. So obviously they're coming back. You know what I mean? Like we would have had no idea who was the ones that were actually snapped. And I think that would have been a far more bigger impact to the start of Endgame to put us back in that mode. Not that the Barton family getting snapped didn't do that as well, but I digress. But when it, again, we have a lot of people who will do a review and actually claim it's a critique. I do a lot of critiquing in my reviews because that's part of the metric that I use to review the film or whatever property I'm reviewing at the time. I have watched a lot of film, whether it be movies, TV shows, you know, musicals, Broadway, you name it. I mean, I've experienced most forms of entertainment and loved pretty much all of them. So, and while, you know, I won't claim to be something I'm not a film historian. I'm a film buff. I'm a film nerd. Like, I can't help myself. Like, these are things that I have always enjoyed doing, just rewatching and finding every little detail. And I'm realizing now that not many people do that. They watch a thing once or twice and that's the end. And me, if I can't watch it 3 or 4 or 5 times, then it's probably not as good as, or I don't like it as much as I might say I did. Like shows like Big Bang Theory, with all the faults that it has, I watch that on repeat. That How I Met Your Mother, Sons of Anarchy, like these are shows that I will just hit, Supernatural, I'll just hit play and watch the entire series over and over and over again. Doesn't mean those are the best series ever. I mean, Sons of Anarchy is up there, but I mean, like something like Breaking Bad, that's only for me a one watch show. I mean, that's not a show that is as good the second time around as a lot of the other shows I mentioned just now. And again, not saying that they're better or worse. Breaking Bad is arguably one of the greatest shows in the history of TV. So, I mean, it just because you don't want to watch it again doesn't mean it's not great. You know what I mean? But when it comes to the, like I said, the difference between a review and critiquing, there's a lot of times where we as, I don't want to say influencers, we as content creators tend to take our biases and push them on people to where certain people's reviews can single-handedly tank or propel a movie to stardom. I mean, look at what happened with Black Adam. I've watched it. I mean, a great example of a very entertaining film, but not a very good one. I mean, I can watch that without even like thinking and still enjoy seeing it because it's cool. It's pretty. Look at all the great like CGI and all this. It's gorgeous. I mean, of course it is, but it doesn't make it a great movie. It has so many flaws, but because certain creators with huge followings were like, let's go. People went and saw it. Now, I wish the success of every single movie. You want to know why? Because that means we'll get to keep making more. I mean, there has been a shift to where, you know, original movies and things like that are having a much harder time now because they're not the MCU or Star Wars, and you know, that could be, and that, you know, that's a conversation for another day. Is that a problem? Yeah, kinda. Is it something that can be overcome? I think so. I mean, if there's been a lot of really sensational films that went to like straight to like Netflix, and it's just the world we live in. Everything's streaming, so I feel like most of the original content and things of that nature are going to be Netflix originals and, you know, Peacock originals, Paramount Plus, I mean, HBO Max. I mean, you can keep going down the list of all the different subscription services, and they're all creating their own content. They're all creating new material. Well, I mean, it could be, you know, adapting things, but that's neither here nor there. So the big budget movies, I mean, there's always, and we can go back and look at all the numbers. There's always been big budget, you know, sci-fi, and I mean, you can go all the way back to the original Star Wars. You can go all the way back to, I mean, and this goes back to something I've said before. Being a nerd isn't just, you know, someone with the Poindexter and all that. So no, if you watch football and know people's stats and you watch and you watch and you watch the games, you're like, oh, we won. You're a sports nerd. There's nothing. That's not a derogatory term. I love sports. I just watched my New York Giants lose today. You know, so there's nothing wrong with being a nerd. And I think now that the nerds have won, I think it's starting to get a little bit more acceptable. And I have to digress again. Kidult. I think it's very funny that there's a whole generation of kids who are now adults with full-time jobs and buying the things they want instead of, you know, investing in what previous generations may have thought was the most important thing. If I want to buy a toy, I'm going to buy a fucking toy. And I find the term kidult to be very condescending. And I think that it stems from a deep place of jealousy, because I bet you there's a lot of things that the previous generations would have loved to nerd out about and you know, buy all this stuff, you know, toys from their youth and or whatever the case may be. I'm sure there are tons of items like that that they see us doing and going and getting in there. They don't understand it because they could never have done that in their day. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again, the nerds won. And I find it absolutely hysterical that even when the nerds win, the cool kids have to try to mess up the party. But I digress. I've been meaning to get that off my chest. Every time I see those news story about kidults and buying toys and shit, well, you know what doesn't like depreciate value? Buying things you like. Because even if something you buy is expensive and it loses its value, say, like, let's say you buy a comic book at $80, but it's a comic book you've always wanted, and then the value drops and you get to keep that book, it still has value. I would argue even more value to the person who has it. Like, there was a great question asked on Instagram about your collection. Will it ever truly be complete? And, you know, the answer for me is it's not that simple, because there are certain books like a Hulk 180, 181 that I could have no other books and my collection would feel complete. But I would always be buying and selling because, you know, I sell comic books. And shameless plug, check out my live shows on Drip Shop Live. It is a competitor to a lot of the other apps you might know. It has a very wide range of items, and the comic sector is growing every single day. And I hope to see you out there. The links will be in the little description down there. I'll be in my link tree. But back to critiques and reviews, I find that there are many people who will review something and make you think one way or another about the film. I whenever you hear me do a review, it's always my take. Like, if I do a comic book review, that's why I don't do ratings, because I don't want there to be a rating scale for things that I like. I tell my thoughts about what I read and what I like, things I liked about it, and move on. And recommendation, like I did an Obi-Wan Kenobi number one review, and, you know, I recommended, if you're a fan of Obi-Wan Kenobi, you should get this book. That's the end of my review. Like, at the end of this episode, I'm going to review the first episode of The Last of Us, and I think you'll understand what I mean by that. And I do sprinkle, like I said earlier, sprinkle in little critiques here and there. And critique is not necessarily a bad thing. That's one, makes sure that that's understood as well. Like, if I say I'm critiquing something, it all seems to have a negative connotation to it almost, but it's not. It's really just examining the material. You know, that's what I mean by a critique. So when people review stuff, they have this tendency to be to rate how good it is based off of their enjoyment of it. And I think that's wrong. And I would hope that you would take my words as more of a summarization with key details that I think are cool. That's kind of what I go for when I do my reviews. But there is a very big difference between a review and a critique for me. And I can keep bringing up like Starship Troopers movies. That's a horrible mess, but it's a cult classic. I love that movie. Doesn't mean it's a great movie. You know what I mean? Like, and that's one thing that I have noticed, especially when I was doing the Batman vs Superman discourse. It was like, well, it's my favorite comic book movie, and it's good because it had Superman and Batman. Well, okay, that's your opinion, but if you look at it from the script, the acting, the story, it fails on so many levels. So while you may enjoy it and you may like it, does not mean it's good. And there's a difference. But I said all that because I want to make it clear when I do my review about The Last of Us on those key points. Because I loved The Last of Us, episode one of season one. It was just it's just absolutely amazing. I'm tongue-tied because I was trying to think of a less like my personal opinion. when I say it was just awesome and it was amazing, that's just an easy way out because that's what I felt when I watched it. But in this case, I first off have to admit that I barely made it through the first level of like the opening sequence of Last of Us. So I am really happy now that I didn't play the game because I can watch this show as a show. I won't be expecting anything. I won't be prepared for anything. And I think if I didn't play that opening scene, I would have liked the first episode even more, which is saying something because I thought it was. Every time I watch it, I feel the same way. I feel like it's one of the best opening episodes I've ever seen. Like, it hooked you. It gave you action, gave you suspense, gave you horror, gave you a lot of things in one episode. And it is a lot longer than majority of other episodes, first episodes would be. So that is a little bit of it. But this was absolutely fantastic. Down to like little tiny details, like in the car, when they're like trying to flee, where it's his daughter, him and his brother in the car, right? Or I mean, it's his friend, maybe it's his uncle. I honestly, I don't know the whole story, so I can't. I'm not. I don't really know the relationship there. I'm just going off what I saw in the show. And she's asking questions, and Pedro Pascal is looking back and answering. You're literally looking through her eyes, and experiencing that in such a like focalized and like central way. It puts you in the middle of the story, and that is just fantastic. And it's not easy to do a horror show and have true suspenseful horror. Like, a lot of horror movies and shows rely on jump scares and CGI to really terrify people. This show did not do that. I mean, sure, it used that for certain things, but it was, there were certain scenes that were just absolutely chilling and terrifying because something was happening in the background that the main characters weren't aware of. And then that's part of what we was talking about earlier with the storytelling and the acting. When you can believe the portrayals that these actors are doing as more so than them acting, you know, I find it interesting when actors, you know, if they're in a sitcom and they're pretending to be an actor, they overact so that it can, you can tell that they're acting as an actor and not acting. And the emotions and the dread and the you can feel the pain and in certain scenes when where you actually can feel the anxiety and the strain of the characters when they're in these scenarios, and it's brilliant. I have said before, and you know, we have had many video game movies and TV shows that just were horrible, and while this one is by far the cream of the crop at the top of the list right now. I mean, you look back at the Sonic movies, those aren't bad considering the fact that they should be horrible. You know, it's a CGI giant hedgehog running around in the real world. It shouldn't work, but it does. And, you know, when you look at this show, The Last of Us, it was able to tell this story to... While telling the intro of the story, it told you everything you needed to know about the main character, Pedro Pascal's character. You can definitely tell that he is in that empty inside, and but will do anything for the last bit of family he has left. And they did such a good job at building his character that when certain things happened at the end of the episode, that you just saw it coming. Like they foreshadowed things in a very beautiful way. I can't speak enough to just how good the setup, like, I don't want to get too far into spoiler territory. I mean, I usually wait 48 hours, and it's been a week that new episode will be dropping later today, because this will release at sometime in the morning on Sunday. So, you know, I have plenty of time to have watched it by now, but I am going to stay out of spoiler territory so much in this episode because I want everyone to, if you haven't seen it, to hear me talking, be as enthusiastic as I am about it, and go give it a shot. Everyone who knows me knows I'm a big zombie guy. And of course, I understand that these are technically infected, but it's the same ilk in this scenario here. But the one thing I did want to talk about that is a little bit of spoiler territory, which is the first few minutes of it. It's how they introduce the whole concept of these infected slash zombies, whatever you want to call them. And I know there'll be someone in the comments, "It's they're infected." Yeah, I know. They open in this like meeting, recorded TV show, you know, with you know, experts in their field talking about fungi and how what they see in the later happens. The way he explained it in such a scientific fashion, it was frankly terrifying because you're listening to it going, global pandemic, airborne, like there's a lot of things that seem extra too close to home right now. It starts off very chilling, and then it gives you this little bit of joy, only to rip it out from right underneath you. And I love the memes because, you know, anyone who played the game, like I said, I played the first, like, the beginning of it. So, like, that whole, the airplane, all that stuff, like, the way that went down, like, it was beautifully done. And I can remember like playing it. Like I only played it once, I think, that one time, first time. And I say all the time, I'm not good at those games anymore. I used to love games like that where I had to like spend 30 hours, you know, just to get like all the achievements or whatever, however many hours it was. I don't have the patience for those games. Not even like the great Star Wars games or Batman, Arkham Knights and Arkham Asylum. Like I can't get past the first levels. I just don't have the patience for it. I just end up playing either an online shooter or one of my basketball, like NBA 2K or whatever, or Madden, just to like pass the time. I don't, if I have to think too hard about when I'm playing a video game, I don't want to play it. At least that's how I don't have too much time these days to just play video games. So if I have to like really like think and strategize on how like to like beat a level or something, I'm good. It's whatever. Which is why this show, I think, is another reason why I like it so much, because I always thought, like, why don't they just, like, release that? Like, they have all these cutscenes, you know, in these games where, like, they're pretty much cinematic. Why don't you just, like, edit them all together and release it as a movie? But here we are now watching it as a TV show. And from what I hear, there are some subtle differences. But once again, I when I'm watching this show, I can't help but think how great it is that, because like I said, that first part is very similar to the game. And there was even, I saw some clips where when they were talking, you know, in the apartment, you know, he was talking about the radio playing the songs, it's almost shot for shot, and you know, just different, like revert, like flip side, you know, because I think in the game he's on the left versus on the right in the TV show. But it's very close to the game, and we're in the golden age, if not like the platinum age of video game adaptations, because even Mortal Kombat, I mean, was that a great film? No, but was it far better than anything we had previously? Yeah. I mean, again, that's another good example of bad films that I like. I mean, Mortal Kombat 1 and Annihilation are both horrible films. But I love them. I'll watch them all day, every day. You know, Demolition Man, horrible film. I mean, the way that film was made, it shouldn't work. But because it was done in just such a way, like Wesley Snipes just took over that whole movie and dominated, and it worked somehow. Cheesy action movie, you know, great for what it is. But back to The Last of Us. I can't help but get excited about this series moving forward. And like I said, I'm officially 100% uncharted territory at this point, because I just played the very beginning and that was it. So I get to watch this as a TV show as it is, not just an adaptation of a game. And like I said, it's one of the greatest first episodes I think I've ever seen. I definitely, I obviously love it. I mean, everyone who knows me know I love this kind of stuff. A post-apocalyptic stuff, that's just my jam. I'm writing a zombie novel, a zombie comic book as we speak. You know, Ashcan is getting drawn now. So I don't usually watch a lot of this new stuff, but because I don't want it to affect my writing, but this show has got me hook, line, and sinker. And it's been phenomenally cast. And I am really looking forward to getting to experience for the first time. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of people who played the game who are going to be very envious of people in my situation, because we can truly be excited about, we don't know about not knowing what comes next. And for me, this is definitely a phenomenal show. And I can't wait to see where it goes moving forward. And like, you know, you look at a lot of the scenes in this show and the specific, you know, camera angles and the lighting and the editing and the acting, it's all absolutely top notch. Like, again, those are things that you can actually look at and grade and critique. And while in this case, I love it and it's top notch, I would recommend highly. I mean, unless you don't like post-apocalyptic or any type of zombie or infected type stuff. I mean, if that's not your jam, then I get that. I mean, I don't judge you for that at all. Like, there's a lot of things I don't like, and I would hope that no one would judge me for not liking them. Like The Godfather, for instance. I feel like I'm gonna get so much. It's almost a good thing I'm not like a super famous like person right now, because I'd be getting crucified. I'd wake up tomorrow like 5,000 messages. Did you hear this guy said he didn't like The Godfather? What is wrong with it? We can't listen. It's a great film. Just not for me. I think that The Last of Us is a great show, and it honestly should be for everyone. I definitely am going to recommend it to anyone who likes that kind of stuff. I mean, if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, I feel like this is what The Walking Dead wishes it was. It's because The Walking Dead, you know, another show that I watched, loved, and then just was I was done. And it wasn't just because Glenn, a lot of people like fell off after Glenn, that it just got worse after that. There's going to be a lot of great things in store. Please give me a follow if you liked any of my rant today. Please like, share, do all that stuff for the algorithms. Tell your friends. You got some nerdy friends. Or you know what? If you know someone that's going to come and talk shit, send them my way. I want you to, if you know someone who is going to be mad that I don't like The Godfather, send them my way. That's what I want. I want people to get mad at me for not liking a fantastic movie, because I'm okay with that. But there's a lot of things we've got working in the store. I can't wait to show you guys the book. It's called Here Walks Monsters. And I'm really excited about that. There's a lot of things moving forward that I'm going to be having a lot more guests, be working with a lot more creators. 2023 is going to be crazy. I hope you've got your seatbelts fastened, because we about to take off. Until next time, everyone, this is Nerd Tween saying have a good rest of your day, my nerdy friends.